The scripture for the sermon this afternoon is Acts, the book of Acts, the 18th chapter, verses 24 through 28. Acts 18, verses 24 to 28. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ.
Good afternoon. Wonderful to see you again. Hope you had a wonderful lunch. We did, and very thankful for it. And again, thankful for the opportunity of being here at Avondale today. I hope I have this on correctly. Let me see. There we go. Oh, yeah, there it is. I want to be Eric Owens when I grow up, and I hope one day I do. It's an honor to stand in his pulpit and to be able to share a couple of lessons with you today from God's Word. I want to thank Brother Leonard for the wonderful singing. Boy, what a voice. What a God-given, God-blessed voice. Just beautiful. Thank you. And elders, thank you again for allowing me to be here today and allowing for your congregation to have a part in what we're doing in Georgia School of Preaching and Biblical Studies. Though we don't see it sometimes when we're young, instruction is a blessing. If you were here this afternoon earlier and saw these young people down here and these men giving it their all. That was the best example I can give of the blessing of instruction. We had some future elders or deacons, preachers, missionaries, probably right down here among this group of young people today. And elders' wives, deacons' wives, Bible class teachers for the young ladies who were here, teaching the children later on, teaching other women later in their lives. You never know. You just don't. You're planting that seed and you're watering it, 1 Corinthians 3:6, and it's a blessing. Sometimes it doesn't yield fruit until later, but man, the fruit that it can yield. Each of us is a product of instruction. From the very moment that we took our first breath outside our mother's womb, we began to be instructed in how to survive in this life. Everything from how to eat, how to talk, how to tie our shoes, how to get up in the morning, how to do our schoolwork. Every one of us is a product of instruction. And if we didn't have that instruction, if it didn't make the impact upon us that it does, we wouldn't be the people that we are striving to be today. And so we never need to think that this is some kind of burden or something that's just meant as a grudging obligation for us to receive and then to give instruction. Is a blessed thing. I share this illustration quite often when I speak, and I may have done it here, so please forgive me. I'm an old man, and I repeat myself a lot. So I'll use, and I was born in Alabama, so I'll use that as my excuse today. It is said that if you serve in the Peace Corps of the United States of America, U.S. Peace Corps, and you're sent around the world, that you're given a manual of instruction to tell you about what you're going to face in whatever region of the world you go in. There's a particular section of that manual, folks who are going to serve in the Amazon region of South America, who will face the greatest of all nemeses in that region of the world, and that is the anaconda snake, 35 feet long and 400 pounds. Man, in Alabama and in Georgia, that's a lot of snake. Well, they send them forth with this instruction about what to do if you face that kind of adversary, if you are the victim of an attack from an anaconda. I'm told this is a factual thing. I want to share it as that today. There are 10 steps in the manual, United States Peace Corps. If you're attacked by an anaconda, here's what you should do. Number one, do not run. The snake is faster than you are. Every time I read that, I think, you want to bet. Number two, lie flat on the ground, put your arms tight against your side, your legs tight together. Number three, tuck in your chin. Number four, the snake will begin to come and nudge and climb all over your body. Number five, and I love this one, do not panic. Oh, I love it. Number six, after the snake has examined you, it'll begin to swallow you from the feet in. Permit the snake to swallow your feet and ankles. Do not panic. Number seven, the snake will now begin to suck your legs into its body. You must lie perfectly still. This will take a long time. I'll be dead before it finishes. Number eight, when the snake reaches your knees, slowly and with as little movement as possible, reach down and take out your knife. And very gently slide it between the edge of the snake's mouth and your leg, then suddenly rip upwards, severing the snake's head. That's my favorite part. Number nine, be sure you have your knife. Number 10, be sure your knife is sharp. This is the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6:17. And it's sharper than any other sword. May our ability to use this sword against that serpent of old, who is far more lethal than any anaconda, may it be sharp, because our very souls hang in the balance. That's why instruction is a blessing for the child of God. Blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law. Psalm 94, verse 12. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Proverbs 4, verse 13. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Proverbs 8 and verse 33. This afternoon, as Walter has done such a wonderfully eloquent job in reading for us, we look at the life of a man named Apollos. The full version of his name, full expression of his name, Apollonius, literally meant one who destroys, ironically. Because when we read of him in his work for the Lord in Corinth and later in Crete, as Paul wrote to Titus, Apollos was not a destroyer. He was a servant of God. And he fulfilled a wonderful task for the Lord, a wonderful blessing for the Lord for others, because others blessed his life when he needed it. His example teaches us several things about instruction in its blessed state for each one of us that I want us to focus on this afternoon for just a few moments. First of all, let's consider atmosphere when we consider instruction as a blessing. Apollos was a Jew who grew up in Alexandria, born in Alexandria, Egypt. He'd been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he was mighty in the Scripture. Someone had taught him. And by virtue of the fact that he was born and raised in Alexandria, Egypt, he was already in an atmosphere of tremendous learning and scholarship. Alexandria, Egypt, in the ancient world, had two noted distinctions about it. Number one, it had a tremendous harbor. Great commerce came in through their harbor in Alexandria. But number two, the greatest library in all the known world, especially right up until the intertestamental period of time. There was a great fire that destroyed it at a point in time. But prior to that, some 400,000 volumes in their library. Scrolls, fragments of papyri, books as we would call them, literary works. And so scholars from all over the world came to lecture and to study in fields of mathematics and astronomy and medicine and you name it. Apollos grew up in that kind of atmosphere that was such a tremendously bathed, baptized, immersed atmosphere in learning. And he was a product of that atmosphere. just like that, you and I have grown up and we live today in probably one of the greatest centers of learning in all of the entire world, the United States of America. We have more blessings and more open opportunities to learn in this country than many other countries in the world. Especially when you talk about this book, there are nations where people cannot gather this afternoon as we are in freedom and discuss the Word of God. We have no excuse in terms of our knowledge of the Bible, the Word of God, because we are blessed with so many opportunities to learn it. And one of the greatest building blocks and foundations of learning this Word of God and being blessed by instruction is the godly home. There is no school. There is no other learning institution that can equal the godly home where the instruction in this book is concerned. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul said to Timothy, "When I bring to remembrance or call to remembrance the unfeigned or sincere faith that is in you, the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first," where? "In your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul says, from childhood, Timothy, you have known the Holy Scriptures. Timothy did not get his faith from Paul. He got his faith from his grandmother and his mother, the foundation of it. Paul refined it for sure. He brought it to fruition for sure. But Timothy already had the foundation of that by the time that Paul got him. Let me implore parents in this audience of young children. What a wonderful opportunity it was to see these children, these blessed, precious children learn up here. But parents, you need to be teaching them at home. You have more time with them. You have more energy with them. You have impact and example with them. You have more learning opportunities than any congregation or Christian school or school of preaching or anything else can ever provide. Don't waste those precious moments. Our daughters used to say to us when something would happen and we would instruct them, they would say, "Why does everything have to be a lesson?" Because school only lasts a short time. And those kids, they turn 18, and they pack up their stuff, and they go out into a world that will surely teach them its ways. We had better lay that foundation before that happens. Just like we're doing here, but also doing before we get here on Sunday and Wednesday. Foundation. Atmosphere. It was a blessing to Apollos. Number two, attention. Instruction is a blessing when we pay attention to it. Aquila and Priscilla heard Apollos. They didn't just recognize his voice in the back of their slumber as they slept through the synagogue service. They paid attention to him. They cut through whatever was happening in their own lives, and they were sitting there attentively paying attention to what Apollos was saying. We know that because of what they did in terms of reacting to it. So many times we bring baggage with us into worship, and that's human. We bring work concerns and home concerns and every other concern you can name. And it's difficult sometimes to even just pay attention, but that's what we need to do. It's what we need to strive to do so that instruction be a blessing to us. In Acts 17, verses 10 and 11, the Bereans are said to be more noble than those in Thessalonica. Paul wrote about it because he said they received the word. They received it with all readiness of mind. They paid attention to what was being said. What does Paul say in Romans 10, 17? Faith comes by hearing, attention, and hearing by the Word of God. When John, the Spirit through John, wrote to those seven churches of Asia Minor, Revelation chapters 2 and 3, different instruction to each one of those congregations, but each one received the same admonition at the end of that instruction. Remember the phrase? "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit said." Pay attention, God says. I have a message. Pay attention to that message. We need to pay rapt attention when the Word of God is being taught to us. I often quote Brother Marshall Keeble. He says, as long as a man's quoting Scripture, you know that part of his sermon's right. But when someone is teaching us the Bible, that deserves our attention. And the rest of the things of the world can wait at the door so that we can be blessed by the instruction that we receive, as Aquila and Priscilla were. Number three, aptitude and attitude. Apollos was a learned man. He was eloquent, fervent in the scriptures, or fervent in spirit, spoke boldly and vigorously. He knew the word of God, had been instructed. But he had an aptitude. He packed the gear. He was a capable, not only teacher, but also student. But he had an attitude for learning. And that's what we must strive to keep, because it's very easy sometimes when we've been taught and taught and taught, we're the receptors of instruction, to somehow get the idea that there's nothing else that we can learn. That's not true. Again, going back to the Bereans, they received the word with all readiness of mind. They had an aptitude and an attitude for learning. In Acts 4 and verse 13, the Bible says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and then they took notice that they'd been where? With Jesus. And they had an aptitude, even though they were fishermen, they had an aptitude and an attitude for learning. Same is true with us. The old poem says, you can tell a freshman by his silly, eager look. You can tell a sophomore because he carries one less book. You can tell a junior by his dashing air and such. You can tell a senior, but you can't tell him much. One of the things we teach in Georgia School of Preaching and Biblical Studies is a course called World Religions. One of the religions we study is Taoism. It comes out of Southeast Asia. It's a very humanistic religion, very selfish, based on the individual, not on any deity. Usually the people who learn Taoism in Southeast Asia are the children of wealthy families, well-to-do families, and they are taught that by monks, not by their parents, but by monks who are paid to teach them. Stories told of a young student who went before an old Taoist monk who was sitting outside of his residence on kind of a little rocky bench. He had an open fire going over here and had a silver metallic pot brewing tea. And he had two ceramic cups sitting there. The young man sat down with him. The old monk began to teach him. No sooner would he get through a sentence of whatever he was trying to get across, the young man would stop him and say, I know that. So the old monk would hesitate and start down another avenue of trying to say something the young man needed to learn. The young man would stop him. I know that. This happened several times. Very frustrating. It was obvious the young man thought he knew more than the monk. You know, kind of like the bumper sticker that says, we don't need encyclopedias, we have a teenager. So finally the old monk just stopped. He reached down and got the two cups, gave the young man his, and he reached over and picked up that boiling, steaming, hot pot of tea. And he began to pour in the young man's cup. When he got to the top, he didn't stop pouring. That hot tea spilled out over that young man's hand. He screamed in pain, threw the cup away. Old man, what are you trying to do? The old monk looked at him and said, you were like that cup. You were so full of what you think you know, nothing else can go in. Come back when your cup is empty. Then you will learn. Brethren, we need to come to every learning opportunity with the Word of God, with a cup that still has room in it. An aptitude, but also an attitude for learning. Also, accuracy. When they heard Apollos speak, he had knowledge, he had already been instructed. Most of the things he said was correct. But the text says he knew only the baptism of John. He needed some further instruction. He needed some assistance. And thankfully, Aquila and Priscilla took him aside and gave him the instruction that he needed and helped him to more accurately hone his message. Thankfully, they didn't run out and write him up in the local Brotherhood Journal of Heretics Anonymous. They helped him. They did for him what he needed, and that is to turn his message down the avenue of total accuracy. You ever heard denominational preachers teach out there? And boy, they do great till they get right to the end, then they go to the plan of salvation, and they go over here in Neverland. Not in the Word of God. If there's a part of our message that must be right, and it all should be accurate, it had better be the plan of salvation. Apollos knew only the baptism of John. He needed some assistance. Just like the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8 needed Philip to bring the book of Isaiah in an accurate understanding for him as to who this man is speaking of. Is he speaking of himself or some other man? Philip began at that scripture. Remember what he said? He preached unto him whom? Jesus. He straightened his knowledge out. Just as, again, the Bereans sought to do. Acts 17:11. Not only did they receive the word with all readiness of mind, but they did something else. They searched the scriptures how often? Daily. Why? To see whether these things were so. It's exactly what we're talking about here. The message that we preach, the instruction that we give, had better be accurate. Again, because our very souls hang in the balance. Thankfully, Aquila and Priscilla helped Apollos. And that's really the other thing I wanted to mention. Instruction is a blessing in that it gives us assistance. It helps us. It helps us to grow. They assisted Apollos. They didn't condemn him. They helped him. They assisted him so that when he goes to Achaia, what is he able to do? The same thing. He's able to assist brethren because someone else has assisted him. Instruction is a blessing. We need to take part in every opportunity presented to us. This is not going to be a commercial about the school. I use this as a way of illustrating the lesson that we've just considered. If you could find college-level instruction in the Bible and related areas in your neighborhood or online, tuition-free, would you sign up? Let me ask it a different way. Why wouldn't you sign up? Why wouldn't you? If instruction's a blessing, why wouldn't you sign up? Keep this figure in your head for just a second. I'll be back to it in just a moment. We began in 1999 with one campus and a handful of folks. We have grown now past that with a twofold purpose. Number one, we want to train men to preach, to serve and to lead as elders and deacons, to be missionaries. We want to strengthen the leadership of the Lord's church. And number two, we want to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Our classes are not just about teaching preachers. Anyone can attend, and we encourage anyone and everyone to attend. Again, here's the hierarchy. The godly home is the foundation. What the local congregation does adds to that in sermons and Bible classes. And then efforts like ours are just simply a third level to add to and augment what's already been done. We have 159 counties in Georgia, folks. 24 of them don't have congregations of the Lord's Church. The ones that do, some of the ones that do, the congregations are very small. Some of them are mostly women. They have no men leaders. And we even have circuit riding preachers. Would you believe that? In 2020, in the Southeast, the Bible Belt. We have men, especially in Southwest Georgia, who circuit ride every Sunday. I know one brother that preaches for four different congregations every Sunday because there's nobody else to do it. The need is great. And it's our responsibility to fulfill that need. In 2005, we began to grow the school, just like the University of Phoenix and Strayer, by putting regional campuses around our state and over in the state of Alabama. We teach at a college level. We strive to utilize resources just like the Avondale building. We didn't go about trying to build new buildings. No need to do that. Church buildings are the least used of all commercial structures in the United States. We need to use those structures, and we're striving to do that. Mainly, we want to be faithful and doctrinally sound. We don't want to teach error. We don't want to lead someone off into inaccuracy or error or unfaithfulness. We provide our courses with no tuition, tuition-free. I'll talk about that a little more in a second. We don't want someone for just a couple of years. We want to inspire them to a lifetime of study. We use every avenue we can, including online instruction. This is an idea of where our campuses are now. We want to put a campus in Augusta and Savannah, one down in Ozark, Alabama. We have 10 campuses currently, most of them in the Atlanta area, because that's where most folks live in Georgia. It's right around Atlanta. Chances are you'll find a campus near you. And if you see that picture right in the middle, that's the Avondale Church of Christ. We have a campus here. We're very thankful for it. And I periodically try to thank Brother Ray Strickland, who does a wonderful job. I love Ray so much. What a wonderful man. If I hadn't been a Decker, I'd want to have been a Strickland so I'd be his brother. I'm telling you, just I want to live next to him in glory. I do. What a wonderful brother in Christ. Done such a good job with this campus. We have online classes. Some of them are archived. You can take them anytime. Some of them are streamed live from our Marietta and other campuses. Take advantage of those. We have wonderful instructors. Brother Eric Owens, chief among them. A number of other men who are just as good, just as capable. And we're very thankful for all of them. Our student body. We have students age 9. You believe that? Students that their mothers homeschool them during the day and bring them to GSOP classes at night. And they do pretty well. We have one student, a lady down in Valdosta, is 83 years old. She said, I'm going to get that certificate before I die. And I believe she will. Our average attendance is about 200 each quarter, each semester now. We've gone to semesters. Our student body is varied. I don't want to use the word diverse. That's way overused in our culture. But it's varied. Anybody can come study with us. Doesn't matter who you are. You can take our classes for audit. You don't have to do a thing. Just come and take notes. Even if you don't want to do that, just come and listen. If you want to take them for credit, you can come and take them for credit. And the good news about our credit, we are now finalizing articulation agreements with 4 different schools. I'll show them in just a second to teach you in 4 different areas: preaching, biblical studies, church leadership, and missions. These are some of the courses in our preaching major. These are some of the courses in our biblical studies major. Again, other things like short courses, things like fundamentals of teaching. Someone told me today, you know, some folks, they don't know how to teach. We'll come to some of our short courses and we'll help you. We'll teach you how to teach. We'll instruct you and try to assist you. Other things you can see on the screen. Freed Hardeman, Amridge, Faulkner, and Heritage are going to accept our credit. College credit, transferable to them if you decide to go on and get a degree. PTP a few years ago had been reached out to by several different schools in our brotherhood to teach classes. They reached out to us. They said, we want you to teach your classes at our event. Very thankful for that. We have a youth camp that we're firing up down in Hayhira, Georgia, at Georgia Bible Camp. We have zip lines, we have ropes courses, we have rock climbing walls. It's a boot camp. But we also teach young men in that boot camp how to be husbands and fathers and citizens and leaders in the church. And you'll receive more information on that as we go along. Our website, GSOP Online, take advantage of what's there. That's the whole billboard for our school. We're having a lectureship May 2nd and 3rd. It's our 15th annual lectureship. This year, the theme, gender and godliness. We're going to talk about this gender mess that's going on in our culture. And we're going to address it forthrightly. Hope you'll be there. Again, these are the things that we offer. And I go back to this figure. If you paid for our schooling, that's a conservative amount. $17,000 is what you'd pay if you went to a secular school and got what we can give you. But at our school, you'll pay nothing. If you can't afford the books, we'll pay for those for you. Someone told me not long ago, and I've had a few someones tell me this, you know, if you charge for it, people might think more of it. Well, how many of you who have college-age kids at home, if a recruiter showed up from UGA and said, we're going to give you 2 years free, you'd say, no, I believe I'd rather pay for it, mean more to me. I don't think so. So instruction is a blessing. Before we have the invitation song, let me end with this illustration. Jimmy Carter was an excellent student, Georgia Tech, and the United States Naval Academy. He finished the top of his class in both. After going to those schools and in the Navy, he wanted to get in the nuclear submarine program. He passed all of his exams, knocked the top out of everyone. The last thing he had to do was go for an interview in front of then Captain Hyman Rickover, who retired as Admiral Hyman Rickover. He was in charge of the whole nuclear submarine program, United States Navy. Captain Rickover's attention was very much deserved. You see those steely eyes on that screen behind me. Mr. Carter said he felt those like lasers in the back of his skull when he went through the interview. Anyway, he goes into the interview room. He talks about this in his book that he wrote, Why Not the Best? He goes in the interview room. There's 2 chairs, 2 lights on. Captain Rickover sitting in one. This is a wooden chair over here. He goes over and sits down. Captain Rickover had someone saw the front right leg short and the back left leg short, so when Mr. Carter sat down in the chair, it almost tumbled him out on the floor. By design. All of a sudden, you're not comfortable. Captain Rickover stared at him for a long time, said he never changed his expression, and finally said, "Talk to me about things that you know about." So Mr. Carter said he began to talk. Talked about Navy stuff that he'd learned in school, talked about stuff he'd learned already in the Navy. When he got through with that, he started talking about raising peanuts and cotton, stuff he learned in Plains, Georgia as a boy. He said Captain Rickover asked him a few questions. He couldn't answer any of them. And he said he had a softball growing right here in his throat. He said it was so dry and he couldn't breathe. But he still had to go through the interview. He said after he finished with that segment of the interview, Captain Rickover just sat there and stared at him. He didn't change his expression, just sat and stared at him. And finally Captain Rickover said, "Tell me about your education." Mr. Carter thought, "Oh, finally I can crow a little bit." He said, "I finished the top of my class at Georgia Tech and the top of my class at the U.S. Naval Academy." He said Captain Rickover never changed his expression, never nodded his head, never smiled, nothing, just stared a hole through him. He said they sat there several more minutes, nothing being said. He said finally Captain Rickover asked him two final questions regarding the question that he just asked about his schooling. Number one, did you always do your best? Carter thought, "Yeah." And he thought, "No, I probably didn't. I didn't always make A's. I didn't study as hard as I needed to." So he said he swallowed real hard around that softball that was in his neck. And he said, "No, sir. I don't guess I did." He said, Captain Rickover asked him one more question. "Why not?" Carter said when he wrote that book at age 67, whatever it was, he said, "I still don't have a good answer for that question." So as we extend this invitation, let me ask you two questions. In your life as a disciple of Christ, in your study of the Word, and in your practice of the Christian life, number one, have you always done your best? If the answer to that question is no, second question, why not? Did Jesus do His best for us? Did He? And that's what He deserves from us in our study, in our living the Christian life. If we can help you do your best and you're subject to the Lord's invitation, would you come while together we stand and sing?